Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday, where our gut feeling is that our ESPN radio competitor has been hacking into our computers. No? Not like the Cardinals and the Astros.
I'm not sure the FBI is investigating that hacking just yet.
Yet,
keyword,
this will be a bigger deal than whether or not the former Secretary of State was using her own private server and go, oh, we can't find anything. We're dropping the ball on everything these days. Like, I don't get it.
The statement from the commissioner said
who
that
cares?
Major League Baseball has been aware of and has fully cooperated with the federal investigation.
Yes, we have a federal investigation into that.
So the feds are investigating FIFA and the MLB.
Okay, so here's what we have. We have an intense federal investigation into whether or not the Cardinals have information on whether Domingo Santana can handle a breaking ball on the outer edge of the plate, but really nothing on uranium sales. Which one puts us in danger? I ask you.
Well, maybe the Cardinals just wanted to see what the Astros were doing right.
No. I know what the reason is behind.
Well, sure, it goes. Personnel. It's a front office personnel switch.
Yeah, I mean, what happened was he used to work for the Cardinals. What they were trying to find out is what did he bring with him. That's what they were trying to find out. They actually want to know the reason behind it. But there's absurdity to it. This is going to be one of those all-consuming stories. I mean, look what they did. Now, I understand this is business to business. Hacking's wrong, and there's no integrity here. But there's so many bizarre levels to this. All right? If this is that important to you, why don't you double passcode it? I mean, he used the exact same password that he had with the Cardinals.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. Here's a thought. Right. How about when the guy leaves your company, you change the passwords?
Well, no. He took his own password with him to Houston and used the same password there. That's what happened. So the Cardinals were like, they're going to go in there and use his password. Because he didn't change it.
That's even worse.
Okay? It's instead of FIDO, why don't you make it like change it up to like FIDO 28? Something. All right?
FIDO Stros.
Okay? It is alleged that the Cardinals guy hacked him at home. At least go to a Starbucks. Oh.
He wanted to make sure he was on private Wi-Fi when he did the hacking.
Now, is it an important thing business to business to be looked into? Yes. Is it important for those who cover sports to cover it? Yes. Is investigating FIFA and corruption important? Sure. Is it important for sports to cover it? Yes. Okay. All right. Is when it comes to computers, is it wrong to have your own server on your own property? Conducting government business when the law says you can't? Is that a far more important story than this? It's exponentially more important. The two aren't even in the same realm. That's under the table.
I tried to hack into your information at one point, but I realized you have all yours on paper and filing cabinets and not on the computer, so it didn't really work for me.
I'm just saying, we're dropping the ball on stuff. What's important? Eh? What's a big story? What's the big story in the last week in sports that's talked about?
Is LeBron going to win the MVP?
Exactly. And it is a side note. It is a footnote. It is a sidebar. Okay? It's not determining winning or losing. It's a sidebar story. Duncan Keith won the Conn Smythe. Sidebar story. Okay? Nice sidebar was the fact the Stanley Cup literally was not in the building when the horn sounded. That's a sidebar. I mean, Dexter Jackson was the MVP of the Super Bowl. Well, I'm happy for Dexter Jackson. That's great. It's a side note, sidebar. It's a footnote. People are arguing about footnotes. Hey, don't take your eye off the ball. Hey, the game's the thing. Can the Cavaliers win tonight? The problem the Cavaliers have is this. They can't win tonight if they can't figure out a way to not run out of gas. That's the whole series right there. Golden State, every game, runs them out of gas, including LeBron. Ask yourself, you watch the game on Sunday night, right? Watch the third quarter of the game. LeBron takes jump shots, gives the ball up. Takes jump shots, give the ball up. Why? Why did he do that? Because he's conserving himself, knowing that they've been running out of gas in the fourth quarter. Sports is about matchups. Your ability to take a more talented player and match him up on somebody that can't handle him. That's what it's about. In the third quarter of that game, the other night, and even into the fourth quarter, there were two separate occasions where LeBron James was matched up one-on-one with Stephen Curry because of a series of switches. Okay, you want to be able, if you're Cleveland, you want to get some switches that gets LeBron into a really favorable matchup. In other words, get him away from Iguodala if you can. And there were three times, he was put one-on-one with Stephen Curry. If I'm Cleveland, I'm sitting there going, this is great. Take it, ram it right down his throat, go to the bucket and force the little guy to foul him or else just exploit him and score. He gave up the ball all three times. Dig. That's what it's about. That's what this whole series is about. Golden State has figured out, and you listen to Steve Kerr's huddles, they totally get it. They figured out very quickly that they can beat them in a war of attrition. That's the series. And he did, and Kerr's done two big things in this series. Two big things that he has done in this series is one, figuring out right away that in a war of attrition, they'll beat him and they can wear him down because they're out of bodies. And number two, that Cleveland had success in the first three games of the series building leads until he put Iguodala in the game, who can at least give LeBron a lot to think about. So what did Kerr do? He took the starts away from Cleveland by starting Iguodala. That's a series right there. And the bottom line is, fatigue has been a major part of this. Let me ask you something, Kevin. Last four games of the series. Last four games of the series. And by the way, I totally endorse how LeBron has played. I think it's the only way they can win. What is LeBron James shooting from the field the last four games of the series?
I'm going to say 32%.
No, it's actually 37.6.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't now, impressive.
Right. Okay. So this is... Now, he has to play this way for them to win, okay? He has to. And he's rebounding, he's assists, things like that. I got it. But we now talk about the dumbest things. Whether or not he's the MVP is dumb. Well, okay. What's a big story going into the U.S. Open? Tiger Woods. He has no chance. None. He won't finish in the top 20. He's playing lousy, but he's a focal point. Focal point. Don't take your eye off the ball. Start focusing on who can win. He can't win.
Although I agree with you on the talk of the MVP and who's going to win it midway through the series, why isn't Curry the front runner for this?
Early on in the series, and especially in games two and then a good chunk of game three, he didn't shoot the ball well. But
LeBron hasn't really shot the ball well in the entire series. That's what I don't get. No, overall.
Right. He's been a volume shooter, which has led to volume points. I mean, he is, you know, he's averaging nearly 40 points a game. And look at the assists he's given out. And the other part, too, about Curry is Curry has turned the ball over too often. I mean, Curry's had some volume turnover games, a 6-turnover game, a 5-turnover game. That's why. I mean, but it doesn't really matter. It's about which one's the better team. The other thing's a sidebar. It's sidebar stuff. Right, Amy, times have changed, and I'll talk about how times have changed dramatically in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
All three deals are neck and neck as they come down to the finish line, and they're all tied at 19-9-15. Looks like at SMC, everyone's a winner.
It's the Sunbury Motors Ford Triple Crown of Savings. Choose from either a new 2015 Ford Escape or the fuel-efficient Ford Fusion, or a 2015 Ford Focus equipped with heated leather seats and a power moonroof for an amazing price of $19,915. You heard right. A new 2015 Ford Escape, a 2015 Ford Fusion, or top-of-the-line Ford Focus for just $19,915. Sunbury Motors has over 250 new Fords available with savings up to $10,000 and interest rates as low as 0% for up to 72 months.
View the entire inventory online at sunburymotors.com.
The Triple Crown Sale won't last long, so hurry in to Sunbury Motors. Satisfying more customers and selling more cars for over a century. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915.
Okay, we've had a dramatic transition in what people think or in how things are with individuals in sports. There's a real focus on, obviously, LeBron James, and he's, you know, and as he told everybody the other night in a tremendous Ricky Henderson moment, that he's the best player on the planet. So, I mean, LeBron, you know, all of us are saying that he's the best player on the planet. He doesn't have to say it.
It kind of loses something when you say it yourself.
Right. Just bizarre. And
I am the best co-host of a sports broadcast in the state. Okay, maybe in this building. All right, maybe in this seat.
We're back to that seat thing again. We talked about this.
Chair.
And it used to be in baseball that baseball ruled how media covered it. The World Series would happen. People were wrapped up in the World Series. It was great. Then a couple weeks after the season, maybe 3 weeks after the season, they would then announce the American League Rookie of the Year. It'd be the lead story. Then the National League Rookie of the Year. It'd be the lead story. Then it'd be the American League Cy Young Award winner. Then it'd be the National League Cy Young Award winner. Then they announced the American League MVP Award. Then the National League MVP Award. And for a full week, and a little bit more than that, because it would go from 1 week into the next. So in a two-week span, once again, Major League Baseball would be the lead story because of the awards being handed out. They would then follow that up 3-4 weeks later, usually about 3 weeks later, where suddenly out of nowhere, you'd have the winter meetings and there'd be some trades. And again, baseball would be the lead story. So they did a brilliant job of making themselves the lead in October, for a week and a half, the lead in November, and then being the lead in December when, you know, you wouldn't think they would be. That's all faded now. Who's the American League Cy Young Award winner from last year?
I have no idea.
Corey Kluber of the Cleveland Indians. He won 18 games last year. And that's my point. Okay, who's the MVP in the NFL last year?
Peyton Manning.
Aaron Rodgers.
Well, at least it was a quarterback.
But I'm saying, but this is
right.
where
this is
we
your point.
Are
yeah.
This is where we are now, where that stuff is really nice. And congratulations to anybody who's won an award, because I think that's really nice. But it's not in the – who's the most outstanding player of the Final Four this year? Again, this is what it comes down to. Really nice awards. But the bottom line is people remember that Duke won the national championship game. The bottom line is people remember, for whatever reasons, obviously, that the Patriots won the Super Bowl. That the Giants won the World Series. That last night the Chicago Blackhawks won the Stanley Cup for the third time in 6 years. That's what people remember. They remember who the champions happened to be. And if they happen to pick out, okay, remember the Cardinals won in 2011, how great David Freese was? Okay. Remember when the Red Sox won in 2013? Holy cow. Remember David Ortiz had almost 700. Moments. The biggest story out of the Red Sox winning in 2013 was that they won it in Fenway Park, and then it was Ortiz. So it's Red Sox wins. Number two, Red Sox won it at Fenway first time since 1918. Number three, David Ortiz, MVP. Third story. You have the NBA totally out of step with everybody where they're talking about who's the MVP of this series. That's not the way sports is going right now. When the Celtics won their first NBA championship in the Larry Bird era, who was the MVP of the series?
Larry Bird.
Cedric Cornbread Maxwell.
Who?
Cedric Cornbread Maxwell. And that's my point. All this individual stuff is great because, you know, stars are really important. There's no question. People are drawn to stars. I mean, would pay money to see LeBron play basketball. No question about it. I would. But it's who wins that ends up being what the most memorable part of the experience happens to be. Tom Brady may have been the MVP of the Super Bowl, but it's Jimmy Butler's play is the play we remember at the goal line. And this useless argument about whether he's the MVP in winning or losing in the series is just that. It's irrelevant. It's a footnote. The bottom line is, can his team win? Tonight, they have one thing going for them and one thing that's going against them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on this Tuesday. It's actually going to be gorgeous tomorrow and gorgeous on Friday. Head into the weekend, and we're going to have Gabe Sinacropi on tomorrow for the Williamsport Crosscutters to talk about their home opener on Saturday night when they take on the State College Spikes. Their season gets rolling. It's going to be an important summer. Take a good, hard, long look at some things. The Phillies are going to be in a dealing mood, and part of it's going to be what, you know, what they do with prospects in all levels of their minors, and you may see somebody end up at Williamsport that they picked up in a deal. And that's between now and the 31st of July. So at some point, we'll see. I have no idea. We'll be checking in later to see what the Astros database has to say about the Phillies prospects. Just kidding. That's because we have their password.
Actually, they didn't even bother to write up anything. So,
oh, come on.
There's just a big data blank spot there.
Oh, you're just so negative. But that's the story they're looking into. Obviously, I mean, ethics comes into play here on this. There's no question about that. I mean, this is going to be a story where, you know, professional ethics come in. But also runs two ways, too. Exactly, what did he bring with him when he left the Cardinals organization? Which is what they were trying to find out. But he never changed his password. That's one thing. And then the other guy, the guy that's hacking into it, did it from his house.
Can we call this baseball espionage?
Sure, yeah, it's baseball espionage. And the FBI's looking. This is what they look into now. They look into whether soccer's corrupt and whether the Cardinals are hacking the Astros. Everything else going along pretty well. No issues anywhere else.
Maybe that's what's happened with the Phillies. Maybe somebody hacked into their system. And it changed all the information of any players that had talent, and they ended up trading them away.
No, I'm actually going toward mismanagement. So I'm leaning that way.
That'll be Ruben Amaro's next statement. I'm telling you, we were hacked. I know it.
Yeah. Joe Paterno and Chuck Fusina, along with... along with Matt Barr, are going to be inducted into the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. It'll take place Sunday, October 24th, Valley Forge Casino Resort in King of Prussia. And so that'll be a great moment there. So it's going to be Joe Paterno, Chuck Fusina, Matt Barr, all going in, along with Bernie Perrant, P.J. Carlissimo, Christy Kowal, Neil Olkowitz, Foge Fazio, former Pitt coach. Foge had a better run there as a coordinator than as the head coach, but did a great job as a coordinator. Bill Komen, Eric Crabtree, golfer Chip Lutz, wrestler Gary Simons, and the first ever Sports Hall of Fame Pioneering Leadership Award will go to former Governor Ed Rendell. So the former Gov gets some recognition, gets a little sports love. But Chuck Fusina, Matt Barr, and Joe Paterno will be the three representatives October 24th of that awards dinner. And that's a Saturday night. I think Penn State is playing at Maryland at M&T Bank Stadium. So just a little slice of info to pass along to you. The finals resume tonight, as we mentioned. The Pirates are red hot. They scored 5 runs before recording an out last night. We had a group. There was a group about 13, 14 guys here that I know. I didn't go, obviously. I was doing the show here yesterday. But went down to the game. I said, they're going to ask you guys to go back more often. I said, that's the most run production they've had all season long. use you guys for offense. And then Liriano went eight innings through shutout baseball. I mean, they're red hot right now. They're just, I mean, nothing really can, at this moment, is slowing the Pirates down. They're really, Philly fans are probably jealous of what they're seeing in Pittsburgh right now. After having it being in reverse, by the way, before. I mean, before the Phillies were the dominant franchise in the state and were the dominant franchise in the state for 20 years. The last 3 years it's been Pittsburgh, and this year might be their best yet in this run. You got everything going for them. They have some power. They have one of the top two or three players in baseball. In McCutcheon. They're playing great ball right now. But the big debate in sports is about, again, individuals, stars mean something. Okay, it's Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. It's Tom Brady or Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots. You know, it's Jonathan Taves, Patrick Kane, and the Chicago Blackhawks. It's LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, yeah, you know, you have that kind of star power in it. But in winning awards, they're footnotes. The story is the team. Okay, you pick up the paper. Okay, X team wins. Sidebar, X is the MVP. Well-deserved honor. Really nice. Deserves additional recognition. Tremendous. They give you a little trophy for it. It's nice. I think that's great, that kind of recognition. But it's not the story. It's not the story. I mentioned before the break that the Cavaliers tonight have one plus and one minus going into tonight's game. Here's the plus. They're playing at home. Huge plus. Give them a little extra juice, energy. Here's the minus. It's 48 hours since the last game. In a series that has been where Golden State has exploited the war of attrition and have basically run the Cavaliers out of gas in the fourth quarter, this 48-hour turnaround is a tough turnaround for them. Now, if the Cavaliers win and survive tonight, it's 72 hours to Game 7. That would be Friday night. But you had to travel back and then play 48 hours later. In the fourth quarter is where these games have been won. You know, David Blatt was talking the other night about, you know, hey, we changed the lineup, went to a smaller lineup. We were in the fourth quarter. Well, except for game, I mean, even to a certain extent, even the start of the fourth quarter in game four, Cavaliers have been in every game. And what's happened is they pulled away. The whole series changed, and it really became evident in the last game the Cavaliers won. Let's not forget, in a losing cause, and Kevin and I pointed this out the very next day. What was the trouble spot for Cleveland in winning that game? That suddenly out of nowhere, Golden State scored 54 points in the second half. Suddenly in the second half of that game, Golden State was playing normal Golden State basketball again. And it carried over into game four where they played normal Golden State basketball and won. He carried over into game five where they played normal Golden State basketball and won again. Ever since the start of the second half of the last game they lost, Golden State has gotten back to playing its game and scoring. Cleveland needs to keep Golden State under 95 points. That's where the Iguodala part has come in. Iguodala, first of all, the Iguodala thing has become comical in its own right. All this talk about Dellavedova, Dellavedova, Dellavedova. Everyone's acted like in the last two games, like Iguodala is some sort of revelation they found in the D League. He was on the Olympic team. He's been one of the top players in the league for 10 years. He had a great run in Philadelphia, did well in Denver, and he's had a great run in Golden State. The first time in his career he did not start a game was the opening game of the season. It's the first time in his career he ever did not start. So what Steve Kerr did was he did something, obviously, that was smart in his adjustment realm, is that Cleveland was able to get out of the gate, and LeBron James really had his own way as to how he wanted to play the game in the opening quarter until Iguodala got in. And Iguodala at least knows how to play him, and he makes James fight harder for his points. So what Steve Kerr did was, okay, we'll start the game with him and create that matchup right away. Again, what did I say? What is sports? Sports is about matchups. That's why you have scouting reports. You're trying to get the right matchups. Even in baseball, right? That scouting report, that matchup, not a good breaking ball hitter. So what do? You throw him a steady diet of breaking balls. That's where you're creating that one-to-one matchup. You know, what's this guy's out pitch? He likes to throw a four-seam fastball as his out pitch. Okay, I got two strikes. What am I looking for? Why do you think it's so important in the Stanley Cup to have home ice? Why? Because you get the last change. They send out their top scoring line. I send out my best checking line. Okay? It's late in the game. I need to win a face-off. I can send out Jonathan Toews. I'm at home. I've got the last change. Matchups. That's where I was mentioning LeBron James got Stephen Curry on him three times in the second half of that game, third quarter, against Golden State the other night. A perfect matchup for Hendrick Lloyd. Big man with quickness against small man that can't handle him. And he passed it all three times. What? Matchups. It's not about who wins the MVP. America doesn't care who wins the MVP. They've proven it over time. Who's the MVP of the Super Bowl when Seattle beat Denver? Show of hands, anybody know? Anybody know who was the MVP of the Super Bowl when Seattle beat Denver? Now, we're talking, this is just 16 months ago. Who was it?
I think you asked this the other day, and I said Russell Wilson.
It was Malcolm Smith, the linebacker.
And I still didn't get it right.
I'm saying, but that's great, though, that he won it. I'm happy for him. But at the same time, it's a sidebar. It's a footnote. We're losing sight sometimes as to how we do things and cover things. The U.S. Open is coming up this week, and Fox is going to have coverage. Now, yes, Tiger Woods is a story going in. No question. But let's be realistic here. If you're listing 20 guys that could win the U.S. Open, is he on your list? If he is, you're a dreamer. There's no way he's going to win the U.S. Open. None. Zip. Zilch. No shot. He can't be playing poor golf heading into it than he's playing. I mean, on a professional level. Now, is he a big story going in? Would I be at the press conference? Yeah, I'd be at the press conference because everybody's got a shot going in. They all do. And you should always mention what he shot when you do your story. Always. Because people are interested to know. What did Tiger shoot, by the way? So you always have to put it in there. But you got to start focusing on who's winning. Who's contending. mean, I realize watching him play golf right now is like watching the train scene in The Fugitive. Pretty exciting. Memorable. But he's not playing championship-level golf right now. I mean, he just played the Memorial. Now, remember, Jack Nicklaus's course in Dublin, Muirfield Village, is a course that Tiger Woods plays really, really well. I believe he's won. Has he won the Memorial five times? Does that sound right? I think he has. But he shot 85. So now, Tiger Woods goes to the U.S. Open, Chambers Bay. What is? The other day, I'm listening to an update. It's a radio update. They had one thing they were going through, the Blackhawk, and Tiger Woods played a practice round today at Chambers Bay. That's all they said. So what? That's the equivalent of telling me that Drew Kelly went out to Susquehanna Valley Country Club and got an 18. We're losing sight of important stories here. Taking our eye off the ball. Who's the MVP of the series? Not the most important story. Does it generate some phone calls? Sure. Is that what this is all about? It's not my job to sit here and say, hey, let's generate some calls. Do you think LeBron's the MVP of the series? Long-time listener, first-time caller. Brady, best ever? We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, welcome back. U.S. women's soccer team tonight, Vancouver, where they'll play Nigeria this evening in the final game of the group. Seattle Seahawks quarterback Russell Wilson says he's going to play the last season of his deal with an insurance policy in case he gets hurt.
That's a smart move.
Well, no, it's a really smart move. It also tells you that he's planning on not signing a new deal with Seattle at the moment.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Not only is that a smart move, does that tell you that free agent is coming in his future?
Right, exactly. That's what you're thinking about. Roy McIlroy likes the Lynx look.
Rory.
Chambers Bay. Chambers Bay is a completely different look for a U.S. Open than we've ever seen. Completely different. And ironically, McIlroy has been no better than OK in Lynx golf, even though he grew up on it. Okay, now there's this memorable Tiger Woods quote. I think we're going to see some higher numbers here, but then again, we may not.
And the guy who scores the lowest will win.
I mean, you sat there and you wrote that down, did you? Well, actually, I would have written that one down too, because that one's just crazy.
I think the team that scores the most points tonight will win the NBA game.
And, of course, the second biggest story of the day, besides the fact that Golden State's going for the title tonight and Cleveland's trying to stay alive, is the Cardinals story with the Astros. And it's bizarre in a lot of levels. The GM for the Astros used to work for the Cardinals, so the Cardinals evidently were trying to find out what he took with them to Houston. Well, the dude never changed his password. They don't have multi-level passwording. You would think if this information is that important, you would. And the guy that hacked into the Astros system did it from his house. I mean, you might as well have sent the FBI a flare and said, I'm over here. This must have taken them 20 minutes to investigate.